if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.humanitychurch.com. You can also download the Humanity Church app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the one word Humanity Church to 77977 or check out the giving option on the app. Enjoy this week's talk.
Jesus, we thank you for your peace and your presence. We thank you that you are so good to meet us here and to be with us in this context here, in our homes, God, in our community groups. Anytime that we decide that we are longing to meet with you, you're ready to meet with us. God, we thank you that you are always speaking and that you are always moving. God, may you make us aware of that, God. May you allow us to see and experience that today and ongoing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been a part of our community for any amount of time, you'll know how often we talk about the importance of language. That language is so critical, that the things that we speak out of our mouths create certain futures for us and the presence and the atmosphere in which we live. This last week in our community group, we were studying James and talking about the power of the tongue, and he talks about how such a small thing can get you into a lot of trouble. Have you noticed that? How something so small, a physical body part, can actually create chaos all around us. It can start fires, it can create cursings, it can create atmospheres for people to thrive and die. See, with our language, it both creates bonds, it connects us to one another, it allows us to form relationships and to be invested in one another. It forms the basis for all relationship that we find ourselves in, but it also is what distances ourselves from other people. It also is what creates chasms and barriers and interjects itself to create all kinds of mischief in relationships around us. It allows us to both share ideas and to create unity and common connection with one another, and it also allows us to create disunity and disconnection from one another. It will allow us to create as well as destroy. It will both create wounds and it will heal. Isn't it strange that our language, that our voice can create such dynamic places? But at the same time, talk is cheap, isn't it? I mean, how many of you have said all kinds of things that you're going to do, and then, well, you just don't do them, right? How many of you every Monday have told yourself, I'm getting healthy this week, right? This is the week. Or this is the week where I'm going to kick the addiction. Or this is the week where I'm going to step into this. Or this is the week where this is going to happen. And so we can say all that we want that we're going to do something, but until it's actually done, it really doesn't really matter. Or how many of you have noticed that you define yourself in certain ways? I am the type of person who, fill in the blank, right? Strangely enough, that oftentimes who we say we are can be very incongruent with how we live. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Marla and I have been in an argument, and in my head I'm going, I am such a loving person, right? Why aren't you getting this? And yet how my actions are coming across would say something very different in the context of our relationship with one another. We can say contradictory things and then go and live otherwise, and it creates this dissonance inside of us and other people. See, the strange thing is that we only really know each other by our actions. Really, if someone says, hey, I'm really a forgiving person, and then you don't forgive, you don't experience that, it doesn't really matter, right? If someone says, hey, I'm really loving, and then they go and they create actions around them that are less loving than you would like, it doesn't really matter what they say about themselves, because we really only know people by how we interact with one another, by the impact that we have on each other. The conversation is the relationship, but how we actually live out that conversation defines who we are and where we're moving. And I would say the same thing is true of God. In fact, turn with me to John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. If you have a copy of the scriptures, you can open with me there. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and one of our connection team members will give you one. You can take it home. It'll be yours. We love giving away Bibles here at Humanity, but I want to move to this passage that talks about this voice of God that's speaking to us constantly. And in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made, and in him was life. And that life was the light of mankind, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." See, it's interesting that this passage that John starts out his entire thesis on who God is, his entire memoirs of his experience with Jesus, is he starts out by saying, in the beginning was this voice speaking. In the beginning was the voice of God speaking into our existence. And if there's anything that you can know about God, is that he is constantly speaking. He is constantly in communication with us and with mankind. Now, you may not believe me, but hopefully by the end of this talk, we'll get there. But he is constantly attempting to converse with humanity and speaking into that. But he's also constantly creating with his voice. He's not just like speaking out into existence. He's constantly speaking things over your life that is attempting to move you towards a life of beauty and wholeness and goodness. That he's longing to speak and to create with you. Because that's what God uses to create, is his words. Is that when he speaks, things happen. When he puts things out into existence with his language, that it comes into play. Which is why I love in the beginning, you see that God speaks and things come into existence. That he speaks and there is light. That he speaks and there is the earth. He speaks and there is water. He speaks as there is birds. And we have the exact same power that lives within us, that when we speak, we begin to create all around us. And from the beginning of the scriptures, from Genesis all the way to the very end, we see that God is speaking and doing. Constantly, that he is speaking and creating simultaneously all around us everywhere we go. And just like with one another, we know God only really based on how he's moving. See, it doesn't really matter if God says, "I keep my promises," and then he doesn't, right? It doesn't really matter if God says, "I am loving," and then he suddenly moves into a space where he's unloving. It doesn't matter if God says, "I am faithful," and then suddenly he finds himself busy, right? Because God, you can only know him by what he does, or else talk is cheap, including with God. And so he speaks and then he moves because he is congruent with everything he does. Could you imagine living like God did? Only being able to speak truth? I mean, that would be a strange position to be in, right? At Thanksgiving when your grandmother gives you the sweater and she's like, "How do you like it?" Right? And you're like, "It is definitely a sweater," right? Could you imagine going into work and answering every question with 100% truth, right? Could you imagine answering your spouse when they ask you, "Does this make me look fat," right? No, but with 100% truth in any given situation. See, that at times abhors us because we can't even imagine a context where we'd have to live like that, and yet that's how God interacts with us, is that everything he says is truthful because he is truth. Because he is faithful, because he is life. And so when God speaks, his actions are always congruent with how and what he speaks, and what he speaks into the world around us. See, it's much more difficult to hear God's voice, but it's a lot easier to see what he's doing. I find that to be the case. That at times it's difficult to see or to actually hear God's voice speaking into our existence, but then it's easier to look back and see, oh yeah, I can see how God's hand was moving. I can see how he was actually interacting with my life. I can see how he's putting the pieces together. And we usually don't see it till afterwards, right? I mean, have you ever been through something and you're going, "Where is God in all of this?" And then at the end of it, you look back and you go, "Oh, he was there the whole time. He's actually been interacting with me the whole time. But when I was here in the middle of it, it felt like he had abandoned me, or he had left me, or he was unavailable in that moment." It's when we find ourselves on the other side looking back that we can see all of the things that God has done. But see, when we're in the middle of it, it's like a good suspense thriller, isn't it? Like, how is this thing gonna end? And who is the good guy and who is the bad guy in this story? And how are we actually gonna find ourselves getting out of this situation? And at worst, we just miss it completely. We just miss the fact that God is moving and has moved because we're so stuck in despair and hopelessness that there's not a space for us to see what's taking place. See, the crazy thing to consider is, what if God was actually in the process of speaking miracles into your life on a constant basis? Not like blimps on the radar, not like, "Hey, that happened 3 years ago," but what if God was actually in the process actively right now of speaking the miraculous over your life? And you just couldn't see it, and you just couldn't hear it, or you just couldn't connect with it. See, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? If God was actually attempting to move your life towards beauty and goodness, and we were completely unaware of what was taking place all around us. See, the big question is, how do we actually connect to a God who is speaking to us and moving in us and through us in a way that transforms how we live? Turn with me to John chapter 10, a little bit after where John talks about God being the voice that is speaking to us. In John chapter 10, starting, let me see where we're starting. Starting in verse 24, he says this to us about how we interact with the voice of God. It says this, "The Jews who were gathered around him saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.'" Now, here's the crazy thing, because it says the Jews are actually saying, "Jesus, are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? Are you the guy we've been looking for?" Now, if you just read a few passages earlier, he had actually healed someone who had been lame for over 20 years. And he had done the miraculous over and over and over with them. And they're going, "Hey, stop keeping us in suspense. Are you actually the guy or are you not?" Right? I mean, you think, where have they been, right? I mean, they watched him touch the guy and say, "Get up and walk." They watched the guy spit into someone's eyes and him receive sight. They watched him go up to someone who was possessed by the demonic and say, "You are free," and they were free. And now they're going, "Let us in on your secret. Are you actually the guy or not?" But see, I think that's sometimes how we relate to God, is that God is actually moving all around us. And then when it comes to a moment where we doubt or we find ourselves struggling, it's like, "Are you who you say you are? I mean, I know you did that and that and that and that, and that was completely blew my mind. But are you really who you say you are?" And this is the question that the disciples found themselves in. And in verse 25, Jesus answered, I tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one. See, it's crazy when you have a child, this new experience that you have, because suddenly when I have a child, when Jackson was born into the world, he can be in a room filled with a ton of other kids. But the second he starts crying, I know exactly that that's my kid. The second that he starts screaming, I know he's my kid. Friday night, we had a bunch of leaders over at our house, and we had some children in the living room, and all the kids were screaming. And at one point, I thought, Jackson is making a mess in there. I just knew it, because I could hear his voice out of all the other children's voices, and I knew there was chaos going on in the living room. I didn't have to go in there. I didn't have to have the baby monitor. I just knew because I heard his voice. And I knew exactly what was going on. But the flip side is actually true. We can be in a crowded space, and it's amazing how when I call out to Jackson, that he immediately knows that I am the one calling out to him. Now, we're working now on obedience, but he at least knows that I'm the one who's saying, "Stop," or "Start," you know, "Do not move any further," or "It's time to go home." But it's amazing how in a loud environment that he knows exactly my voice and exactly Marla's voice when we are speaking. And I believe this is exactly how God relates to us, is that when he speaks, our soul actually knows that it's the voice of God. That it just knows, because the longer that you actually spend time around him and the longer that you spend time with him, your soul begins to connect to his voice and it makes sense, because it's possible that God's voice is moving all around us and we're missing it simply because we haven't trained ourselves to listen. We haven't trained ourselves to fully engage, because when you connect to Jesus, you have ears for him, which is why he always says, "You who have ears, hear." Because he wasn't saying like, "Hey, I know some of you don't have ears or some of you have strange deformities." He wasn't saying that. He was actually saying, for those of you who actually care to listen, listen, because I'm about to tell you something that will be healthy for your soul. And then he speaks truth. And strangely enough, half the people heard and half the people didn't. Not because they actually didn't physically hear what he was saying, it was because their soul was not actually tuned into him as the voice of God speaking into their lives. See, he's moved us towards life and he's moved us towards the eternal. And when we find ourselves there, he speaks to us and we know. And part of this is actually getting familiar with the scriptures, which is why we value so much giving away the scriptures here and engaging the scriptures and having things like letters and on a constant basis every Sunday diving into the scriptures to take a look at what they're speaking to us, because the scriptures are his voice in written form. But there's so much more than just words on a page, which is why I hate calling the book the Bible. Because the Bible is like a textbook, but the scriptures are his voice speaking to us. The scriptures are him moving in us and speaking through us. It's what separates it from any other textbook on the planet or any other historical book, is that this voice actually has his voice speaking into us. So if you find yourself getting used to the scriptures, you will find yourself getting used to the voice of God. And then it also will require you having people in your life that are speaking God's truth into your life and through your life. It will require you surrounding yourself by people who are immersed in the voice of God and who are connected to his voice and also speaking that into your life, which, by the way, is why our community groups are so critical here at Humanity Church, because it's that environment where you will have people who are connected to Christ and then speaking that into you so that you can actively hear his voice on a regular basis speaking through you. See, the crazy thing is that the scriptures also say that the heavens declare the majesty of God. I mean, it actually says like the heavens and the mountains are speaking to us. I mean, have you ever been outside and seen the mountains when the smog isn't there, of course, and right after a good rainfall and the snow's there? It's just breathtaking, isn't it? Strangely enough, when Marla first came from Texas and moved here, we went outside one day, and I clearly remember the moment where she paused in the street and was breathless with the sight of the mountains. I mean, I just found her going, oh. And I was like, what are you looking at, honey? What's going on? You okay? And she goes, look at how beautiful. And I'm like, what are you talking about, right? She goes, the mountains. And I was like, oh yeah, what about them? And she goes, they're so beautiful. They're just so majestic. How are you not reacting like this? And see, I realized that I had grown so familiar with the mountains that the beauty had just faded. They just become part of the background. And it wasn't until I paused and said, oh yeah, I forgot how beautiful they are. And I forget that we are blessed to not have to live in Texas, right? Sorry for those of you on the podcast listening. And I forgot how blessed we are to have such beautiful natural landscape in Southern California around us, because I had grown so familiar with it. See, some of us have even grown familiar with the most basic form of God speaking to us, like through sunsets and through the sky and through the mountains and through the oceans. But the scriptures say that even the heavens are declaring how good God is around us. See, they even declare through our circumstances that God is good and that he is moving, that he is faithful. See, the case is that God isn't speaking. It's just that sometimes we're simply resisting hearing him. We're resisting stepping into a space and a relationship where he's speaking into us. See, the fact of the matter is, when you feel like God's voice is distant, like it's just impossible to hear, chances are you may just be following another shepherd. Not a problem. No judgment or shame around that. It just means that you may be following the voice of another shepherd other than the voice of God. And it's probably why at times you struggle with hearing God's voice, because if you're connected to a shepherd whose voice isn't life-giving and whose voice isn't moving you towards wholeness, you'll probably find yourself in a space where it's very, very difficult to hear the voice of God. See, because when God speaks, it's so clear to your soul. It's so clear to who you are. See, but some of us follow the shepherd of fear. And we just follow it around like, hey, this is just part of who I am, and I'm victim to this space, and there's no way to get out of it. And so the voice of fear becomes the shepherd that we listen to and the voice that instructs us rather than the voice of God, and we wonder why we can't hear the voice of God clearly. For some of us, we're drug around by the shepherd of bitterness. And our past becomes the loudest voice that's speaking into our lives. And the unforgiveness and the resentment and the bitterness just begins to build up. And so it becomes the only voice that we can hear amongst all the other voices. And we wonder why we can't hear the voice of God. For some of us, it's anger. For some of us, it's addiction. For some of us, it's unbelief. But when you find yourself following the voice of another shepherd, it will always move you towards a path where God's voice becomes less clear and less distinct. But the good thing is he is the good shepherd who is always going to find the one sheep out of the 99 that has been lost. Who is saying, hey, I know that you have wandered away with this shepherd of fear, but I'm after you. I know that you've wandered away with the shepherd of bitterness, but I'm after you. I know that you've wandered away with the shepherd of anger or resentment or the shepherd of doubt, but I'm after you. And so it's never even that you have to meander or find your way back. It's that God's actually actively finding you and attempting to move you back towards a space where he is. And sometimes we don't actually struggle with hearing God's voice. For some of us, we just actually struggle with trusting it. See, for some of us, we do actually hear God's voice, and he is clearly speaking into our lives, and we just struggle with trusting what it is that he has to say to us. There's this powerful moment in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. Turn with me there. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 1. This is a moment with the prophet Elijah. And Elijah had just had this kick butt moment, right? I mean, he had literally just done the impossible. He had defeated 400 of the prophets of this false god Baal, and he had seen God's fire come down and consume an altar, and he had seen in a moment a political regime change that was much needed here in this moment, and he was on top of the world. I mean, could you imagine having your finest moments in life, and this is what it's followed up with? In verse 19, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel," who was the king and the queen at the time, "everything Elijah had done, and now he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, by this time tomorrow, if I do not make your life that like one of them.' And Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom brush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.' Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep." Have you ever been there before, right? Isn't it crazy that after your best moments, you find yourself under a bush going, "Take me now. It's all over. We might as well call this quits," right? And this is where Elijah finds himself. "And at once an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' And he looked around, and there by his head was some bread, baked over hot coals, a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So he got up and ate and drank. And strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and he spent the night." So this is a very interesting moment where Elijah has one of his greatest moments, and after that, he's susceptible to one of his darkest moments, which I don't know is that seems to be the case in my life, is that it seems to be after the greatest moments in my life, I find myself most susceptible to a voice other than the voice that says, "Hey, you're on it. You're faithful. Thank you." There's another voice that creeps in and says, who do you think you are? Well, what on earth do you think you're doing in this place? How on earth could you be here?" We haven't told everyone yet, but back in August, I signed a deal with a publisher with a book that's coming out in March and May, which is very exciting, very, very exciting. And I was stoked. I mean, I was so pumped. I was like, we're going to get this book out there. It's going to be awesome. I've been waiting to get this message out. It was the first time I felt like this message inside of me needs to be brought to the world. And as soon as I signed that contract and set it off, there was this voice inside of me that said, "What the heck have you done? Who on earth are you to think that people should purchase your content in written form?" And then I began thinking about all of my theology professors from college and from my undergrad, and I'm thinking, they are gonna rip this thing apart. I have no idea what I'm saying. I mean, you're probably a complete theological mess, and now you're gonna lead people into the depths of hell through your book, right? And I found myself going down this path rather quickly. Because oftentimes in the moments where God is moving the hardest and where he's actually moving you towards the person that you are designed to be, to your greatest moment, there will be another voice that will come in and will tell you, "Who do you think you are? How on earth do you think that you should step into this place or have this in your life or should have had this take place in your life?" And that's where Elijah found himself in this place. And it's interesting in this moment that the voice of God begins to sustain Elijah at its most basic level. He actually says, "Get up and eat." Right? And he provides him some food. See, strangely enough, God did not speak into that moment, "Get up and pray," right? He didn't say, "Get up, here's some scriptures, let me put a scroll in front of you," right? "Let me remind you how faithful I am." See, in this moment, it wasn't anything super spiritual. God just said, "Hey, I actually need to just take care of your basic needs right now, so get up and eat because you're gonna die if you don't do that." See, sometimes, when we find ourselves having wandered far enough away from the voice of God, the very first thing that God will tell us is, "Hey, you just need to take care of your basic needs right now." Sometimes the thing that God's voice will tell you is, "Hey, you just need to get up and eat today." Because I know that for some of you, It's just hard to get up in the morning. For some of you, you may just be struggling with just basic functioning in life. And what the voice of God will often first tell you is, hey, get up, eat, take care of yourself. Make sure that you have everything that you need, because the journey that we're gonna keep going on is gonna be strong, and you're gonna need your strength. See, what I love is that in this moment, God pauses with Elijah and tells him, hey, I need you to pause for a moment and have your basic needs taken care of. But he doesn't just say, because you're weak and poor and you have nothing left in you. He actually says, I need you to do this because we're gonna keep going. See, God never is interested in just coddling you. He never lowers his expectations of you, because when you find yourself in a space of desperation and hopelessness, it's not like he says, oh man, how did we get here? Oh no. See, what he was actually saying is, hey, I want you to eat so that we can go for the next 40 days. And that's what he does with Elijah here in this moment, is that oftentimes we lose easily the sight of God, and we think God has forgotten or left us, and then he moves us towards a space of sustainability so that we can keep moving. See, there's this bigger voice that's inside of us. And have you ever wondered why we pray before we eat in this moment here? See, it's not that we need to bless the food, because strangely enough, we like bless pizza as if that's gonna somehow make the calories better for us, right? Or let's pray before we eat this hamburger and fries, right? I never have understood that. But you know, it's actually a spiritual recognition that it's not actually the food that sustains me, it's the voice of God speaking over me that sustains me. Of course, we need to eat, right? But it's that God speaks into us life, and that this food allows us to be sustained so we can continue the journey in front of us. And then God continues the conversation with him, and he says this in verse 9. Then he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, oh, I've been zealous for the Lord of the Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been zealous for the Lord, the Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And the Lord said to him, go back to the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus when you got there. Anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nisham king over Israel, and Elijah son of Japhat Nab and Abel Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death anyone the sword of Jehu. And yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. See, this is such a beautiful moment where God steps in. And he asks Elijah this question, what are you doing here? See, essentially he's saying, how did you allow yourself to get here, Elijah? How did we go from this scene in chapter 18 to this in chapter 19? How did you allow yourself to get here? How did you become disconnected from my voice in such a way that you would find yourself in such depression and hopelessness over here in this place? Now, God's not saying this out of judgment or condemnation towards Elijah. He's actually asking him to reflect, of saying, hey, when did you miss the narrative? At what point when I was speaking into your life, did you stop listening and you found yourself here in this place? Not that it's bad, because I'm gonna provide, even in this place, everything that you need. But how did we get here into this place? See, so oftentimes we grow weary, or we lose sight of God's voice and we lose ears to hear him, and then we drift away. And then we ask ourselves, how on earth did I get here? But we oftentimes ask that question, how did I get here, as some type of accusation towards God. And the question usually sounds like, how did you allow me to get here? See, when God is asking you the exact same question, how did you get here? How did you allow yourself to find yourself in this place? See, we get to that place and we so often think that God has forgotten or left us, and we move towards hopelessness so quickly and forget that his voice has been sustaining us even in this moment, everything that we need. See, the bigger issue is that so often the voice inside of us drowns out everything else. Oh no, this isn't gonna turn out. This is hopeless. I'm never gonna make it. This isn't gonna be what I long for. My life isn't gonna be what it is. Who am I to have this in my life? And see, how often do we allow the circumstances around us to determine who God is for us and what he's capable of and moving in us? See, there was this fire in the sky and God wasn't there. And there was this earthquake and God wasn't there. There was this mighty wind and God wasn't in that. See, the crazy thing is that God had moved through earthquakes before. And God had moved through wind before. And God had moved through fire before. And see, I bet Elijah was in that moment going, oh good, God's here. There's an earthquake, right? Oh good, God hears. There's a fire. Thank you. Oh good, there's a wind. God's here. And see, he's just been relying on past experiences to determine if God is moving here in the moment. And then he was shocked to find out that God wasn't actually moving in that. See, because that's what religion does to us. It actually says, hey, this is the way that God moves, and he'll show up like this every single time. And so we keep expecting God to show up the way he has every single time. And then we wonder why he's not showing up the way he has every single time right now. And we go out and start asking, where is he? Yeah. Right? Wow. Hey, you provided me for financially this way before. Why aren't you going to throw some money down for me here? Hey, you fixed that relationship this way. Why aren't you fixing this one the way that you have before? Hey, you changed my mind or my heart back here like this. Why aren't you doing that now and here? Because here's the thing, God is not interested in creating a formula with you. He's not interested in just saying, hey, have some fire, right? Have an earthquake, have some wind. What he's interested in saying, I want to be with you in the moment. And I want to inform you of what I'm doing here and now if you will stay connected to my voice. And this is what Elijah finds himself in. And Elijah, he looks at the earthquake and he's like, yes, here's God. Dang it, that's not him. The wind, yes, that's not him. The fire, that's not him. But strangely enough, with all the chaos of all of that, there's just this gentle whisper. And it caused Elijah to cover his face with how overwhelmed he was being in the presence of God. Strangely enough, he wasn't afraid of the earthquake. He wasn't afraid of the giant fire that was in front of him, right? Yeah. He wasn't afraid of a wind that was about to knock him over, but the second that God spoke into his life, he started cowering with reverence because of how powerful that moment was. See, for some of us, we're expecting God to show up and do these crazy things. And what God's saying is, you don't need a crazy thing. You don't need me to kill off your boss. You don't need me to dramatically change your circumstances. You don't need me to take all the things that are going on inside of you and have them completely transformed in an instant. All you need to do is to hear my still small voice, and it will change everything in that moment. And this is where Elijah finds himself, and he is whispering. See, I think we want the James Earl Jones version of God, right? We want that version of God. But what I've noticed is that so often God just comes and he just says, shh, would you just listen for a moment? What I have to say to you, if you would just allow yourself to silence all the other craziness over here and listen to me in this moment, I will be with you. The other day, you probably had this happen to you before, but the other day I was late for a meeting and I just ran out the door, tried to grab my keys, and the keys weren't where they were supposed to be. Ever found yourself there? If you have a toddler, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The keys weren't there, and I found myself tearing the house apart. I mean, it was probably 10 minutes into tearing the house apart, trying to find them everywhere, right, that I felt in my pocket, and they were in my pants pockets. Don't act like you haven't done that before, right? And they were right there, and I just thought, this is so dumb. But see, I think that's oftentimes what happens with God, as we go searching everywhere. Where are you? What are you doing? What are you supposed to be? And he's just going, I am right here. You have everything you need. There is never a moment where God's voice is on vacation. He doesn't leave voicemails. He's not disconnected, but he is always speaking into it. He just keeps speaking until we get it. And oftentimes he will ask us the question when we have disconnected from him, what are you doing here? See, God's voice is inviting us to see the impossibilities where the circumstances seem impossible. Because let's be honest, this wasn't like a small thing for Elijah. Elijah was in some political trouble here. And it wasn't just like, hey, I might get slapped on the wrist. There were people out to kill him, right? So I'm not trying to make light of the circumstances. But strangely enough, God is not concerned about that, right? He's not overly worried about the fact that people are out to kill him. The only thing that he's concerned about is what's going on for him. Where are you? Why are you here in this moment? See, because there's very little things that faze God. And this is where he finds himself. He sees nothing but death. And my guess is that you've probably been there before, if not now. You may not be suicidal, but you may just only see hopelessness everywhere you look. And you wonder what's going on. And when you are there, your circumstances look permanent and pervasive. They just look like this is the way it's always going to be, and it's everywhere. And this is where Elijah finds himself. And when you look there, it's the space of everyone's out to get me, and I'm the only one who's left who has this experience going on, right? Ever told yourself that? Yeah. Why does this always happen to me? I'm the only one left, and it's going on everywhere. Everyone is out to get me. See, I do this little activity at the end of the year to remind myself to stop worrying because I'm a worrier, right? And I do this activity usually in December where I get my journal out and I remember back to the year before, 2017. I'll do that for this year. And I try to remember everything that I worried about in 2017. Strangely enough, whenever I've done this exercise, I've only been able to put about one or two things down on the paper. And whenever I put those one or two things down on the paper, they seem very trivial and insignificant based on where I'm at today. But had you asked me in the moment, I'm gonna die, right? Had you asked me in the moment, this is pervasive, it's everywhere, the ship is going down, right? But now with some ground and with some vision, it seems so small and insignificant because on this side, I could see how God had been moving and how he had been actually setting things up for success and for my benefit and for good. See, what would happen if instead of looking back and seeing God move, we could actually be in the storm and be fully aware that God is moving and just stand in peace on that? Be willing to say, I get it. There's people all around me attempting to kill me. That's crazy. I got some food here. We're good. Right? Could you imagine living from that place? But that's the life that God invites us to step into. And actually, it's not just like a, hey, it's okay type of mentality. It's, this is awesome, right? Because God's about to do something huge. In fact, the bigger the problem, the chances are the bigger that God's gonna show up at the end of the day. Could you imagine living in that space where the second things get crazy, you could pause and go, this is awesome, right? Something crazy is about to go down. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what it is, but something crazy is about to happen, and I'm just going to grab my popcorn and watch, right? Because this is what God invites us into, and I love how God responds to Elijah's complaint. I'm the only one left. And this has happened everywhere, and I'm going to die. You have left me here, right? He actually says, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go talk to this person because they're actually still around. And I want you to go to talk to this person because they're still around. And they're going to hook up everything for you, right? They're going to make sure that this person is not going to kill you or anyone connected to you. I'm going to take all of your responsibilities. This person's going to take it so you can take a little hiatus for you. Oh, and by the way, I have 7,000 people. 7,000, right? Who are still faithfully serving me and are willing to back you up. Crazy, right? Yes. See, the crazy thing is that when we lose sight of God's voice, we also lose sight of his resource. We also lose sight of all the resource that's available in him and through him. See, because it's not that he was alone, it's just that all that Elijah could see was that he's alone. Meanwhile, God is over here in the rafters and the wings going, I got 7,000 for you. Oh, and I got another prophet ready to take all your stuff. And this guy is gonna be like your guardsman who will kill anyone who kills you. So I got this. And see, God brings him into the resource of community. See, whenever you find yourself having lost the voice of God, the first place that God will always push you towards is community. It's to the resource that he has in people around you. Because any other time when you disconnect from the voice of God, that voice will always tell you, do not connect to people. They're gonna hurt you, they're gonna kill you, you're left to yourself, so just fend for your own self, take care of your needs, and whatever you do, do not get involved with anyone else. And of course, God's solution is, hey, here's all the people that I have for you, right? That are going to step into your life and take it from you. Don't you hate it when things are going really bad and someone just tells you how awesome everything is? I hate that. I mean, Marla and I, when we deal with conflict situations, we are exact opposites. I'm Elijah. I can't tell you how many times I've been on the floor saying, I'm the only one. Everyone's left me. The world is falling apart. I'm going to be killed. And Marla's like, Nathan, this is amazing, right? Look at all these people in this situation. And remember this that happened yesterday. Remember this happened this morning. It's all wonderful, right? The last thing that you want to hear in that moment is everything is awesome, right? You just need a little commisery with you in that moment of saying, hey, yeah, I get it. Things aren't probably going to work out the way you wanted to. But you just hate it when you're in that funk and someone comes along and says, hey, here's everything that's going right, right? See, but strangely, that's what you actually need in the moment. And so many times we reject the voice of God because we'd rather be committed to our funk than get connected to a possibility that's available to us. We'd actually rather be committed to the despair and the hopelessness of the circumstances around us than actually step into a possibility for something new to take place. And see, this is what God does, is he comes to us in our worst moments when we're on our deathbed and we think that everything has fallen apart. And he goes, let me just tell you how this is all going to work out. And it's our choice to run with it, or it's our choice to stay there. But it will determine the future that you have. See, because some of us have become addicted to our hopelessness. And God is saying, there is a future that's available to you if you're willing to hear my voice and trust it. See, but God wants to walk alongside of you and speak. He's not actually interested in just like harping on you, although he generously will. Strangely enough, when people lose the voice of God, I'll often ask them, hey, what was the last thing he said to you? And when you go back, you can probably find something that he said to you, and he's probably just still there going, hey, remember this? This is what we're talking about over here, right? And so God's actually saying, I'm not interested in just harping on you, but I'll keep doing that if I need to. What I'm actually interested in you getting up and moving. Because you have a 40-day journey ahead of you. And at the end of the 40 days, there's a beautiful future. And if we will get up and walk, we will step into this. And I love that he asks him twice, why are you here? Because when God speaks to you, he will always call you into the exit of your despair. He will always call you to the exit of your hopelessness. He will always call you to the exit of the circumstances that are so overwhelming. And on the other side is a future worth stepping into. See, we connect to the voice of God because the voice of God is the only voice that will move you towards hope. It's the only voice that will move you towards life. It's the only voice that will move you towards the life that you were designed to live. And anything else is cheap and insignificant and will leave you in a space saying, I'm going to die. Because God's plan is never death over your life. It is always life.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation or download the Humanity Church app to continue interacting with the community at Humanity. Thanks and have a great week.